Hello, and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly podcast. This week, we're dealing with events up to the 22nd of February 2019. We have a special version of the podcast this week, as the Institute's Head of Research, Policy and Standards, Kate Cooper, is in conversation with Freya Lockwood, Senior Consultant at Kinetic, about the Fourth Industrial Revolution and how changing technologies are affecting leadership in the workplace.
Hi, I'm Freya Lockwood, Senior Consultant in Kinetic. I have been exploring how the future of work is changing as technology and other strategic drivers reshape organisations. Disruptive technology is transforming how we live and work, so we're here today to look at how leadership should evolve as the relationships between people, technology and work change. Many of us will have heard of some of these pioneering technologies, such as artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things, augmented reality, 3D printing, and blockchain. They are already having huge impact on the tools, processes, devices, and equipment we use every day. By taking advantage of the connectivity, intelligence, and adaptability these technologies offer, we are reshaping the nature of work. Because of the depth, breadth, and pace of change we are now experiencing, this transformation has become known as the Fourth Industrial Revolution, or 4IR for short. With me, I have Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute of Management.
Hello, Freya, and thank you for inviting me to be here today.
I'd like to start by asking whether you think that leadership will need to change to make the most of these emerging technologies that are coming through into organisations.
I think as a former academic, and now leading as I do on the Institute's research and leadership learning programmes, the biggest change I think I've noticed is how we talk about leadership so much more than we talk about leaders. We have to recognise that leadership's happening everywhere in the organisation. It's not a function of title, it's not a function of hierarchy. And while we have the capability to track people, at the same time, paradoxically almost, we have to trust them more because they're not coming into the office. They are working from home, and we're moving really away from a transactional approach to what would be traditionally called management to a much higher trust, much more relationship driven. So we've got the technology increasing and doing so many things for us, but at the same time, we're expecting so much more of people in terms of their ability to manage relationships with their colleagues, with people they don't see, with their suppliers. Everything is so much more connected. And I think, interestingly, what technology has also done for us, it gives you an audit trail of almost every transaction you have with anybody. How transparent are leadership behaviours now in a way that they weren't previously, when you were sending memos instead of emails or making phone calls instead of recorded Skype calls? It's a different way of relating to people.
I'm getting a really strong message that leadership will need to change as we transition to this sort of new context. What I'd like to explore now is how do you think leadership should change in response?
Management of your reputation as a leader, as a person who behaves ethically. Again, you can't escape from it. If we look within organisations, if we want a new sort of leadership, it has to be role modelled, it has to be exemplified. You cannot say one thing and do another. You cannot have values that are painted stenciled on your walls and they're not lived. And people have to understand where those values come from. And I think particularly with values, what I suppose even 5, 10 years ago was seen as a marketing exercise and we need some values, actually now is, well, what are our values? Why do the people work here? What is their sense of purpose? Can it be shared? So that, again, it's about managing who you are and actually having to have that consistency with how you behave and what you believe. And that's how you'll get the engagement from people.
But what's that sparked in my head is the idea that actually you need the diversity in the leadership styles. So in some places, in some contexts, that hero model is going to work really well. So we don't want to be getting rid of that, but we need to sort of create those spaces where we can allow these other ways of leading to sort of maybe have more voice and more power. What attributes do you think that future leaders will need?
For example, looking at the athlete, and this is an area we've done quite a lot of research in, how you transition the athletic performance that pursuit of excellence into organisations. And one of the most important things is about clarity of expectation. And if it's about, we want you to run that 1 second faster or throw that 1 metre further, there's a clarity about that and a lack of apology for measuring it. So if you can say to people, we want you to come up with X number of ideas, there's a clarity about that and you know whether you've achieved it or not. You say to people, actually, keeping the show on the road, looking after our core business at this moment is actually imperative to our survival. That's what you're measuring and that's what they should be feeding back on. We went into, for example, Pret a Manger and found somebody experimenting with different sorts of sandwiches. That might be very innovative in some ways, but really frustrating for the customer. So, but they need to be doing it, but you know, you don't mix it up with your core business.
How different do you think that is from the leaders that we traditionally think of today?
I was thinking so much about ego, and that's the thing that's got to go, because you don't, there's too much to know. I mean, there was always too much to know, but there used to be a security about being the expert, the person who'd had the experience in the industry, or, you know, now it's got to be okay to say you don't know, and not only not know, to be able to respect somebody else who has the knowledge that you don't have without that hierarchy. So you're not buying in, it's an equal respect. And I think what's the biggest barrier to that? It's ego. It's that somebody's grown up in a tradition of, you know, I'm senior and I'm important and I know. Real struggle.
It's interesting because I think that's something that pervades a lot of organisations all the way through. It's not almost accepted to be able to say, I don't know the answer. That fear of failure is not something that we're very tolerant of, and you see it all the way through. Future leaders are going to be quite different in terms of the attributes and how they're bringing people together. Do we really understand how we need to train and develop our future leaders? Kate, what are your thoughts
on? What we're saying, I suppose, is that we're trying to develop people to tolerate ambiguity, to tolerate uncertainty, to appreciate complexity and their role within it. And none of those things seem to be easily acquired in a classroom, do they? Certainly not by an MBA program. So what it needs is that, I think, a degree of mental toughness, a real self-awareness and self-knowledge about what you are bringing, and also understanding how to access knowledge and whether the knowledge is the right knowledge. And if Googling something and going for the first hit, is that really the best way to find something out? But if we ask people, yes, that's what they'd be doing. It's a bit like payback being the most popular form of capital investment appraisal. We understand it.
Yeah. Those critical thinking skills that when we don't seem to be teaching. And what was really nice is as you were talking, I sort of what popped into my head is this idea of sort of leadership apprenticeship, where you spend time refining your craft and learning those skills to be able to read those really volatile environments. Who would we go to go and learn?
Well, interestingly, we've just done some work with Engage for Success, looking at the construction industry. And where we were looking for high levels of engagement, but where that was most likely to happen was where leadership was distributed, where more people were recognised as bringing this leadership capability, where boundaries are blurred and managed carefully, where there's a recognition that expertise is outside the organisation but still needed. So it's very much that sort of blockchain interconnectedness of everybody and how we all contribute. And there has to be benefit and value to everybody in the chain, otherwise it collapses. And as I said, you know, particularly that's the one that's most current.
I think for me, it's really clear that the fourth industrial revolution in the context that we're moving into is going to have a significant impact on leadership, that leaders are definitely going to need to change. What I'm taking away is that we need a sort of an approach that adds, not replaces what we have, so that we get that real diversity. Some other things that I've sort of really taken away is this idea of leaders everywhere, that sort of very distributed situational awareness for the organisation. Yes, definitely. Thank you very much.
Well, sadly, that's all we've got time for this week. Thanks very much to Freya for leading that conversation. Do please go to the website www.institutelm.com to find out more about the Institute of Leadership and Management. and do please sign up to this podcast series.